This is a subject that is so large that I could do an entire year on this topic and never say enough or study enough about this. We're going to do more teaching on this, but here we're going to study this for a couple more weeks. But the reality is, I could talk about the Holy Spirit every single weekend for the rest of my ministry, and I would never say enough on this subject because we're talking about God. I mean, can you ever say everything there is to say or know about God? Little three-year-old was asking his mom as he's being tucked in one night about how God can be everywhere. So the mom was trying to do her best to convey the idea about God's omnipresence. And he said, "You mean God is with us right now?" She said, "Yes, honey." "And he's also with Grandma and Papa in Ohio." And she said, "Yes, honey, God's everywhere." He said, "You mean God is smeared?" And the point, when we try to understand God, we all appear a little childish trying to fathom the infinite. So let's understand this about our study of the Holy Spirit. In my library, I have numerous books on the Holy Spirit. I haven't read all of them, read most of them. And the interesting thing is that many of them never even deal with John chapters 14, 15, and 16, which seems to me to be the best place to start when it comes to wanting to know about the Holy Spirit. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't really think I am. But I think Jesus is the expert on anything that is important to know about. And the foundation of anything in theology should be, well, what did Jesus have to say about that? So I'm persuaded that the most important things to know about the Holy Spirit, we will learn by looking at what Jesus taught us. And Jesus is the best gift ever. And one reason Jesus had this conviction was because he delighted in the Holy Spirit's gift of conviction. So look with me. John chapter 16, we're going to begin in the 7th verse. It says this: "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I am going away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Now I want to spend the majority of my time talking with you about that word "prove." Your translation might say he will convict or he will expose. That word means to bring into the light or to cause to see something that has been in the darkness. And all of us who follow Jesus have experienced that experience, and it's a good thing when the Holy Spirit exposes an area of our life where darkness is starting to reign. You say, "Well, that makes me feel bad." It ought to make you feel bad. It's good to feel bad about sin. And it is especially good that you are still in enough fellowship with the Holy Spirit that you can hear his voice. So all of us who follow Christ understand the Holy Spirit's wonderful ministry of conviction. But in this verse, Jesus is not talking about his ministry to Christians. He said he will prove the world wrong. And to my knowledge, it is the only time in the New Testament that we have enlightenment on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to unbelievers. Write this down. The Holy Spirit has something to prove to the world. And it stuck and it turned off. That'll show it. Because people that are far from God are in darkness. They cannot see that they are in darkness. Because the Bible says that Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So they are not just in darkness. For you or anybody that's listening to this sermon today. And I'm persuaded that right now there are people listening to me whom the Holy Spirit is calling you to see that you've got a real need for Jesus. And you don't even know how big it is. And it begins with a new definition of sin. Look again at verses 8 and 9 from the New Living Translation. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong concerning sin because they don't believe in me. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit is going to shed light on is the truth that sin is unbelief. You are not going to come to Jesus as your Lord and Savior until you get convicted about this thing called sin. And notice Jesus did not say he will prove them wrong about their sins, plural. He said he will convict them about sin because they don't believe in me. Because there is one sin at the root of all sin, and it is the rejection of Jesus and his identity and his lordship. People are not lost because they are sinners. Now, it's true. You can read lists of sins in the scriptures. You go to Revelation. There's this long list of kinds of sins for which people will be lost. But you look at that list and everything that's on that list, people who go to heaven have done. Because ultimately, you're not lost because you are a sinner. You are lost because you rejected your Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And people are in darkness about this. They don't understand that the great sin is to reject Jesus. So they become fluent in the language of self-justification. I'm not that bad. I mean, I ought to go to heaven. I don't sin that much. I don't sin as much as you do. I don't sin like you do. I mean, the sin that I do is not as bad as the sin that you do. Some of you will recognize Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City. He went a few years back to his 50th college reunion. And he reflected on the fact that as he was there, a lot of people that he went to school with had already died. Well, that caused him to think about his own mortality. And somebody asked him in conversations, "What do you think about Judgment Day?" And he reflected on the fact that he's done a lot of good in his life. I mean, he's tried to restrict gun laws. Keep in mind, this is in Michael Bloomberg's eyes. He's tried to cut down on smoking and having people eat bad stuff. And this is what he said: "I'm telling you, if there is a God, I'm not going to stop to be interviewed. I'm going straight in. I have earned my place in heaven." That, my friends, is a man who is blind to his own need because he cannot see his great sin as he is living in darkness. I'd like to ask him, well, if you're okay and I'm okay, then why did Jesus even die? See, here's the truth. You are not barely broken in need of a life coach. You are fatally flawed in need of a Savior. And this is what the Holy Spirit is trying to help the world to see. This is one of the reasons why Satan can keep the church ignorant of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3, whether a tree falls to the north or to the south, wherever it falls, there it will live. That was ever brought to faith by that tree. Got on his knees and he surrendered his heart to God. See, when we partner with the Holy Spirit, we become the light. Says when the unbeliever comes into your midst, he's going to say, God is in this place. The verse right before. Just bring somebody with you to church. That has been created by an enemy. We pray with people that we love that need Jesus. I don't know if this is sound ugly. And I believe in praying for the sick. And I believe in God still. That's why we tend to pray much more to keep saved people from going to heaven than we do to keep lost people. Or a daughter, or a sister, or a brother, mother, or a relative,
but even Jesus. And I am asking you to pray. George Mueller, a
young man, had five friends that he told the world he would pray for
every single day until he found Jesus. The first friend came to heaven after 5 years of prayer.
You did not come to faith in Jesus because you are so brilliant. You didn't overcome the blindness and the darkness of Satan because you are so smart. Somebody prayed for you. And the Holy Spirit gave you illumination. And it just seems right that we do for somebody else what somebody has done for us. So we're going to do that right now. And I'm going to take a moment and just pray for one person that you know that needs Jesus.